Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, hi again, everyone. I'm 1010 Wins Sports Director Mark Renee. This is On the Mark, and today we are talking with sports marketing guru Brandon Steiner about sports memorabilia and its confluence with current events. First of all, Mr. Steiner, nice to see you again. Happy New Year, and how are things?
Everything's great. Brand new company, Collectible Exchange, which is exactly built for these kind of situations that we're about to talk about, which is you get something you want to sell it, you can immediately put it on our site and sell it. And it's a really cool exchange that people buy and sell on. So thanks for having me.
No problem. I'm glad you could join us. So let's start with last Tuesday night, Yankee Stadium. Aaron Judge hits home run number 60, ties Babe Ruth, obviously still one behind Roger Maris for the Yankees and the American League record. How much is that ball worth as we sit here talking this morning?
Well, it would have been worth probably in the $50,000 to $100,000 range. Remember, everything's amped up when things happen at Yankee Stadium, when things are Yankee, you know, the Yankee world, you know, it's just another level. You know, it's a great ball, ties Babe Ruth. I'm not sure what the record really is in the overall scheme of everything, but there's probably somebody out there for the publicity and hype would probably pay $50,000 to $100,000, probably closer to $50,000.
So the young man and his buddies who catch the ball, they go after the game and exchange it for a bunch of autographs, some other balls, and a bat or two. Did they get enough?
Well, I mean, there's, you know, it's funny you say that because this is really split down the middle these days as far as do you give it back or do you hold it and monetize? So I guess they didn't really get enough if they wanted to monetize. But for the spirit of the sport and love of the game, which a lot of people feel is appropriate, they did the right thing. From an entrepreneur standpoint, like myself, I would have monetized it. And obviously, 50 grand is still a lot of money for all of us.
Yeah, for the record, I'm right on the fence. So I'm holding out if I catch it, and it won't happen because I'm in foul territory. But if it's mine, I want lifetime season tickets. I want lifetime parking. And if I happen to catch 61 and 62, I'm probably holding out for either 1% of the Yankees or 1% of Judge's next contract.
Yeah, that's a good deal. How far that gets you. But I like the parking thrown in there. It's like a true somebody who goes to a lot of games, the parking. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, you know, that's a serious perk. All right, let me get to what hasn't happened yet, but eventually we assume will, as he's got 10 games left. How much will number 61 be worth when he finally gets it? And since we mentioned Yankee Stadium, because they're playing now in Toronto the next three games, is the value at all diminished because it's not going to happen in the Bronx if it happens in Toronto?
I think it takes a little bit away from on the hype aspect of it all. I mean, but, you know, people are really amped up about this. I'm sure they'll be amped up in Toronto. It's an easy trip. I think there'll be a lot of Yankee fans up there. You know, it's interesting. These are meaningful games now. You know, we're getting into meaningful, really meaningful games where the Red Sox weren't. I think, you know, 61 goes for a nice amount of money. I think it's 62 is the ball that's worth the $2.5 million. I think it's a really valuable ball because of everything that's said and everything that's been done. That's the ball that people are looking at, 62. 61, not that big a deal, although, you know, it is a big deal. It'll be worth something. 62, you better really think about what you want to do with that ball ahead of time because it's a really valuable one. And then you got to ask the question, what happens to the last home run that he hits, especially if he can get up to 71, which would really be clearly the all-time record? That would be interesting also, how much that ball would be worth.
Well, he'd have to go on a serious tear, right? He's gone five games now without a home run. I wanted to ask, and you alluded to it, at what point does every new home run ball after 62 diminish the value of the one that he hit previously? So 64 versus 63, 65 versus 64, and on and on.
I don't think it diminishes the value, but I don't think that 64, 65 are worth all that much. But all those home run balls, somebody's going to want, somebody's going to pay some money for. You know, the thing that I always try to emphasize is that anybody who gets these balls, a business person, you know, the hype, the PR, your name out all over the place, the fact you can display it, that PR value, almost priceless. And then the fact that you can then resell it or auction it down the road and get a good amount of your money back, depreciate the ball, blah, blah, blah. So I think it's, you know, really important to realize the overall value comes in a whole bunch of different ways. If somebody decides to really step up and pay the big money, which is what I think they will. But the 64, 65 won't be as big a deal. Again, you know, back to the $25,000, $50,000 for those balls, unless he gets up to 70, 71. 62 is going to be the gold. It's going to be the big ticket. Be interesting where that happens and how the security is and how that fan is. Because remember now, there's a good chance it won't be a Yankee fan. There's a very good chance. And that probably leans me more to somebody who's going to want to be entrepreneurial and be on the money grab.
Now, if this entrepreneur is looking to spend a lot of money to procure the one ball, what would be the value of the series of 60 and 61 and 62 if one person can wind up with all three?
I think it's a few million dollars. I mean, I think that's a nice little scenario to have. Obviously, the 60 already is out of the grasp, but if you go get 61, 62, that's $3 million probably to have both of them. And then even to have his last home run, if that's 63, 64, that would be the nice third ball actually as well. Because that would be the new record, which I think people will now hold on to and be excited about. You know, people just love the home run, the love and judge, and also the triple crown is another factor. You know, he hits a triple crown during this year and then breaks the record. You know, those balls really do hold a lot of value and a lot of excitement around because it'd be one of the greatest years that a baseball player's had in some time.
Yeah. So Judge already has number 60. If he hits 61 and 62, both in Toronto, and somehow by, you know, the miracle of miracles, the same fan happens to grab both of them, what's the first thing that person should do? Or really with either ball, 61 or 62, let alone both?
I think it's simple. You know, you let security get to you. The balls are all pre-marked. Any of the balls you get during that game are valuable. You should really take that seriously. Get security and get out of that stadium. Take your time. Think about what you want to do. Hopefully you'll call me because nobody knows what to do with that ball better than me. And I'll give you the options. You know, there's raffle. There's an NFT. There's the ability to go and do something just straight up on an auction. Then there's the ability to negotiate maybe with a judge or a high-priced, you know, private collector that sometimes will pay the money. And there's a PR spin to it that that person will want.
Okay. Well, the big story, of course, on Friday night was Judge did not get number 61. Albert Pujols, though, in Los Angeles, playing for the Cardinals, did hit his 700th. In fact, he hit 699 and 700 on the same night. How much is the 700 ball worth? And is it more or is it enhanced? Or is the 699 ball enhanced by the fact that they both happened on the same night?
Well, I think the 700 ball is a cool ball. I mean, not many people get the 700, and there's some value there. St. Louis, a little bit of a smaller market, although a very strong fan base. I think somebody pays $50,000 for that ball to have it, although Albert's kind of really been very nonchalant about not wanting it. That's a ball that has some value, but there have been other players that get 700. There'll be others in the future. But a big-time fan in St. Louis will probably want to buy that ball if it's for sale. $50,000 would be my guess.
Now, the guy who caught it apparently brought it home. Was that the right move?
Yes. You got some time to think about it, see what the market is, find the right auction, find the right buyer, or maybe even work out something with Albert. But he had some time to think about it, like that move. And then I'm happy to help him as well. Because, okay. You know, again, that's an NFT opportunity or maybe a raffle, a little easier to work with that ball, a little less, you know, not, there's a lot more people that are available to maybe spend that kind of money on that ball as opposed to the judge.
Now, we know the balls are super valuable in both cases, Pujols and Judge. Are the bats worth anything? The cleats, the batting gloves, the helmets, the uniforms these guys are wearing when they reach these historic milestones?
Absolutely. I mean, the jersey alone is a seven-figure deal, and I imagine the players will keep those jerseys. And the bat equally as valuable. I think the bat could be equally as valuable. With you add the bat and the jersey as the ball. You know, we've known bats for these significant home runs to sell for a lot of money. I think Judge's bat goes to seven figures, and the jersey he'll probably keep. So, or maybe one of those two goes in the Hall of Fame, I would imagine. And same thing with Albert Pujols, one of those items I'm sure they want to put in the Hall of Fame. The player doesn't have to put it in the Hall of Fame, but a lot of times they will give up one of those items to put in there.
Last couple of questions. We know Judge has been a lifetime Yankee, and I suppose the value of the ball won't change if he should, for whatever reason, as he becomes a free agent this winter, decide to sign elsewhere. Pujols, a little bit of a different story. Obviously, he started his career with the Cardinals, put up Hall of Fame numbers with the Cardinals, and then the Angels. And then he played for the Dodgers before going back to the Cardinals. Do his accomplishments, the value of his accomplishments, take a hit because he's bounced around?
I think so. I mean, his better play would have been staying with St. Louis. And also his last 6-7 years, you know, just haven't been great. So his greatness really is a little diminished overall because of his lack of consistency. You know, people have a tendency to forget how dominant, how incredible a player he was, the championships and World Series he won, and then going to the Angels, he really didn't do well. So, yeah, it has diminished. Still make him a 100% pure Hall of Famer, but just probably not the same kind of hype and same kind of swagger as he would have had if he would have stayed in St. Louis, finished his career there, and maybe even finished his career a few years earlier. However, probably wouldn't have got the 700 home runs, so it's kind of a hit or miss proposition, but he's made a lot of money. He's had an incredible career. I think the baseball purists know the kind of player he was. I think that it took a little bit away him moving around and bouncing around, and maybe his career went on a little too long.
And the last thing before I let you go, another sure bet Hall of Famer is Max Scherzer, who's wrapping up his first year with the Mets. He's bounced around, too. I think this is his fifth team, if I'm not mistaken. And the start before his last one, he won his 200th game. Because of his lack of stability in terms of staying with one team for a real measurable amount of time, does Scherzer's 200th win have any value, any baseball, any uniform? Is there anything from that game that would be coveted by collectors?
I think there's always collectors that want that stuff, but not for big money. Listen, Max, Scherzer needs to do one thing to get his hype and to get everything up to another level, and that's to get to a World Series with the Mets. He does that, and everything changes. I don't think the 200-win thing is a big deal in general. I've seen a lot of pitchers come and go with it. Nobody makes a big deal. 200 wins. But Max Scherzer wins a World Series for the Mets, and all bets are off. They'll be building statues in front of Citi Field with him.
And what else is the hot commodity out there right now, if not from baseball, any of the other major sports?
Well, you know, Tom Brady always continues to be a hot commodity. I mean, the NFL always has maintained the insanity that goes on Sunday is always a hot thing, and it just boggles me. But, you know, I think right now baseball has a lot of momentum. We're about to go into a really insane playoff system, which should create a lot more nationwide excitement. I just think, to me, the Dodgers situation, not a lot of people talking about it, but there's a lot of wins going on over there. Very dominant team. I wonder if anybody can deal with them. And if they do continue to win, they may break the record for all-time wins in a season. They're playing that well, that dominant. I think that could be the next hot thing because, you know, the hype in L.A. is always good, and it will be even more hyped if this is maybe the greatest team and the most wins ever.
So what's your outlook on the Yankees and Mets?
You know, I like both teams. I think it'll be fun. It'll be competitive. I think both teams are missing a few things. The Mets, it's Max Scherzer. You know, it's DeGrom. Those guys pitch lights out. You may see them and may be difficult to beat them. I think the Yankees, it's going to come down to their bullpen. Can they win these one-run games? It's going to be very, very tricky. You know, they're missing a couple of little pieces. Some of them have come back. It's going to be a battle for the Yankees to get there because, you know, Houston's really good and there's some other teams that are playing really well. But when they start hitting the lights out like they've been, if they can close out on these one-run games, that's my biggest concern. It will be interesting. I think it's going to be a really interesting fall. I don't expect to see a Subway Series, though.
I was going to ask you about that. If there is a Subway Series, are things more valuable coming out of this series than they were in 2000?
Yes, absolutely. The hype on the Mets is much greater than it was in 2000. I don't know if anybody really thought that 2000 Mets were ever going to get to the World Series. Got to give Bobby Valentine a lot of props on that. But I think that this Met team is pretty hyped up. The fan base is really amped up. I've seen it more amped. I haven't seen it this amped up since the 80s. You know, this team is believing. The fan base is really believing. They're showing up. And, you know, the Yankees fans always show up. That base is so solid. This will be, if that should happen, an incredibly competitive series as well. Probably more competitive than it was in 2000. And be kind of like the old days.
I kept you longer than I promised I would. I apologize, but thanks for joining us.
Anytime, man. Good to talk to you. Thanks.
And Collectible, you. Collectible stay well.
Just so you know the name of the company.
Collectible Exchange. Always... You got it.
Yeah.
I'm Mark Rene. That's Brandon Steiner, and you're On the Mark.
When it comes to lighting, Graybar goes beyond parts and products. We help contractors turn plans into smart designs, manage kitting and deliverables, and navigate local codes so you can stay on time and on budget. Smart, scalable, job site ready. That's not just lighting. That's like kicking your project into Graybar mode. Yep, Graybar does that.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.